They just can't find their asshole with two hands and a Google map.
Dad, monkey, Dad!
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dan's Monkey Dance. I'm Chris Hayner.
I'm John Michael.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Did you have a good week?
Yeah, I had a fine week.
Yeah?
It was lovely. Yeah, the rain finally stopped. It was good.
Oh, you had rain down there, huh?
We had rain for about a week straight.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of unusual.
It's kind of unusual.
Usually it's like a 3 o'clock storm and you're done.
Yeah, no, we had rain for about a week straight. It was awesome.
Wow.
But it's over now. And the sun's out and the Puerto Ricans at the pool. So, you know, summer's here. Yay. Mira. Mira.
You sound like my house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
So what's up with you?
Nothing. You remember a couple of weeks ago when I told you I was on a new diet?
Yeah.
I realized I wanted to talk about it last week and I forgot. But I told you I'd like update you as I was going along.
Yes.
So I weighed myself this past weekend.
Yes.
7 weeks, 24 pounds.
Wow. You gained that much?
No. Lost it.
Oh. Now, do you ever weigh yourself before you take a dump?
It's usually after.
See, you should do it before and after.
So I know how much it weighs?
So how much was in your body? Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the secret, in case anybody is inspired, is I walk 2 miles every day at lunch.
Yes.
And I make sure that my meals are 400 calories or less.
What?
Yes.
That's impossible.
No, it's not.
That's impossible.
No, it's not.
What are you eating?
It's a lot of the like prepackaged, like healthy choice stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Their lunches and stuff are only about like 330 calories.
Wow.
I eat oatmeal for breakfast.
Yeah.
I eat one of those for lunch, and then I'll eat like either chicken or like soy burgers.
Oh.
For dinner.
It sounds miserable.
No, because the trick is Sunday is my cheat day.
Yes.
I'm allowed to have anything I want on Sunday.
Yes.
So you go through the week to get to Sunday.
And that's kind of your reward.
Yes.
And how did you reward yourself today?
We're getting pizza for dinner.
Oh, wow.
I can't live without pizza.
Splurge.
I know.
Hmm.
But see, even though it's my cheat day, instead of eating like 2 slices, I'll only eat one.
Ah. Okay.
But that's my compromise.
Yeah.
So I'm down 24 pounds. I still have some to go.
Well, good for you.
But I'm hoping to hit my goal by the end of summer.
And what's your goal?
I'm not going to tell you yet.
270? 280?
I wasn't that to start with.
Under 300?
Well, I'm already there.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. No, once I get there, I'll give you the numbers.
Did you take a picture of yourself holding a newspaper?
No.
In your underwear? So you can compare the two?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Oh, why not?
Because I'm not on Biggest Loser.
Oh.
You know, I'm not gonna take a picture of myself with my shirt off standing on the scale.
Why not?
Because. That's just not how I roll.
Oh, all right then. Well, good for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Maybe we could do a weekly weigh-in with all of our fans. Everybody, like, Friday night could send in, you know, how much they weigh. And then we could read them on the air on the next week's podcast.
No, you don't want to do that.
No?
No.
Because you think all of them are, like, above 400 pounds?
No, I think they're all, like, way less. I think they're all, like, under 200, and it'd just make us feel bad.
Oh, okay. They're under 200, but they're only 3 feet tall.
All our fans are Meatball from Michael Championship Wrestling.
No, he's 300 pounds.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I think that's great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So what was it that you wanted to talk about today? You seemed fired up before we started.
I have found the new bullshit job of the millennia. I sat through a two-hour meeting with my company's futurist.
What's a futurist?
It's a person who helps your business trend towards, get this, the future. Okay, it's this snotty 20-year-old bitch who's into memes and Twitter and blogging and all this crap. And she was trying to explain how our business needs to adapt for the future. Because if it doesn't, we're not going to be able to keep up.
Okay.
And one of the points she made was that she brought up the topic of young people in job interviews on their cell phones and how those people weren't hired even though they were perfect for the job.
Okay.
And the change we need to make is we need to accept the technology of the today to get us to the future. And my big question was, don't you think that's just fucking rude? If I were interviewing you for a job and you were on your cell phone, now I know you're not doing business because you're unemployed and looking for a job. What are you doing? Twittering my questions to your fan base? And the bad part was the other 70 people in the room were eating this shit up about how awesome this was and how there's so much on the horizon. She said that there's a tsunami of technology coming and we need to be on top of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just couldn't buy into it. And I was getting more and more frustrated because the ass kissers in the room were you know, asking thoughtful questions about this and how you can use Twitter to expand your horizons and your influence.
Your influence?
Your influence. There is a website called Clout, K-L-O-U-T.
Okay.
And this woman is purporting that clout is actually going to factor into whether or not you get hired in the future. That employers will look up your clout score before they offer you a job.
Okay. I work for a software technology company.
Mm-hmm.
They don't... If a software technology company doesn't care about that kind of shit, the company that you work for isn't going to care about it either.
Oh, no, no, no. You're totally wrong. Totally wrong, my friend. You need to Twitter every 10 minutes. We need a podcast. We need a blog. We need a Flickr account. We need a Instagram account. We need Foursquare because it's really important to see where you've checked in. We need a Tumblr account. We need a Blogger account.
I know
we need a Bing account. We need an FM account. We need all this shit.
I know that there are companies that check your Facebook.
Yeah, but I think that's more of a social thing. Like, oh, this girl posts topless pictures of her at the beach.
Exactly.
Maybe we don't want her to be the CEO.
Exactly. And I don't ever see a time when being on your cell phone in a job interview is going to be a good thing.
No, and the point she made was that we should adapt ourselves to this as opposed to
them adapting to
us and showing some consideration
to corporate,
yes,
culture. There was a college kid that was up for the NFL. He was the number one draft pick, and during negotiations, he was on his cell phone,
mm-hmm,
and he went from first to like 68th because, in the NFL's words, he was unfocused. So if the NFL isn't adapting to this, why the fuck would corporate America do it?
Well, see, that's just it. I think this is, again, one of those you know, like people who talk about trends,
right,
and how trends play into you know, the future of your business. And I think that there are obviously some businesses which would say that this is somewhat relevant. If you're a brand manager for something, I would guess that, well, maybe I would need to know that you're on Twitter and Facebook and all these things, because that tells me that you're savvy with social media, and hopefully you're going to use that to help my product.
Right.
But this doesn't tell me that what you've got is any legitimate influence. Just because you send a tweet to Kirstie Alley and she retweets it or acknowledges it doesn't mean you're going to be able to do any kind of legitimate job in the workforce.
No. And my, the company that I work for has, we have a social media person,
mm-hmm.
Whose job it is to maintain Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
But if she was to come in to a job interview and be on her cell phone on Twitter, she wouldn't get hired as the social media person.
Not at all.
Because companies are looking for somebody who's going to be paying attention and focusing on the interview.
Yes.
It just, you know, I don't know. Why are we catering to lazy people?
Well, and, you know, one point she made is that most, she showed a pie chart of, you know, the baby boomers, the Gen Xers, the Gen Ys, the millennials, and saying that most of these millennials, of which she was one,
of course,
are unemployed and can't find jobs. But yet these are the people we're supposed to cater to. It makes no sense to me. It makes no flipping sense whatsoever.
No, I agree. It's very strange that we live in a world where corporations are going to have to bend to that, because then all that's going to do is make lazy workers.
Well, and I think that's pretty much what we have.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on where you work, but I mean, anybody, if I was graduating high school or college this year, I'd be shitting my pants.
Because definitely.
There are no jobs for unskilled people.
Well, and this woman was talking about how, you know, she has a master's in futurism. It's like, and did daddy pay for that? Or are you just so, you know, in debt up to your eyeballs?
Well, I'm sure that she's got some kind of debt.
I would hope so.
I mean, I remember right before my daughter was born, there was an article online that said that her generation would be the first to graduate college unable to repay their student loans.
Well, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I just... So you can become a futurist. Okay.
Yes. What an amazing bullshit job. I'm going to, like, just start to, you know, push myself towards that. I will be littering the internet with tweets to useless people. You know, this woman said that she did her master's thesis by tweeting celebrity questions and getting them back. I'm well, like,
which,
so if
did she say
I,
which celebrities?
No. No, but I'm just wondering, it's like, so were you sure they were legitimate celebrities, or was it, you know, at Johnny Depp?
Right.
With three P's.
Right.
And he responded.
What I'm curious, because I know where you work. How did this futurist get this gig to come in and talk to you guys?
Well, because the leadership of my department is fucking incompetent. See, there's a lot of stuff going on in our business unit,
yeah,
and scheduled for a meeting on future insights. So we're thinking, oh, you're going to tell us about the potential layoffs and stuff that's going on.
Right.
No, that's not what it was.
So it was this chick.
It was this chick.
So do you, well, you might not know, but did they go out and find her, or did she
oh, no,
solicit?
No, She apparently works for my company. In a new department. The department of the future.
So they're laying off people in your department.
And they're hiring this twit.
And they're hiring futurists.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
See, I want to be like the director of bullshit. So when a VP comes in and says, hey, we really need to deal with this, I can come and say, no, you really need to deal with the fact that nobody likes you. It's awesome. So yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to. So, you know, be on the lookout for more tweets and twats and twits and stuff and moving forward into the future. Can't wait. Can't wait.
And the future is social media. Was that what she was getting at?
Yes. The future is the way people experience life. Now, the one thing I have learned from Klaus is that I am entitled to a free subscription to the Red Bull Bulletin and that I can get some business cards from Moo for $20.
Nice.
So Cloud also seems to be a new version of Groupon where they're just engaging you to think that you're doing something positive for your career. And in fact, they're just, you know, prostituting your information to people, which is awesome, I think.
So there's a website called futurist.com.
Yes.
And it says, how do I become a futurist? And it says there are essentially three paths to this career. First is the informal or self-taught path taken by many people. Professionals in a variety of fields often discover their personal interests in the future and begin to read the literature of future studies, forecasting, science and technology, organization, and system change. They begin to attend conferences and seminars as they can find them. Gradually, they begin to define themselves as futurists. Of the 40,000 members of the World Future Society, most have taken that path. But only about 1,200 are professional members who attempt to make a living as futurists.
Mm.
Second path is through a more traditional education institution. There are both undergraduate and graduate degree programs in future studies. And finally, the third path, it's a mentor path. In the case of an early futurist, the founding member of the World Future Society took me under his wing while I was an undergraduate student. So you basically can just call yourself a fucking futurist.
I'm going to add that to my business card.
I think you should. I think on your resume, it should be, you know, John Michael, technical director, futurist.
Yes.
I think that
influencer.
Yes.
I'm influencing things as we speak. My clout score is 54 and 95% of that comes from Facebook, which again is telling me it's bullshit because it isn't taking into account my Twitter, my LinkedIn, my Google Plus, my YouTube, my WordPress. It's mostly coming from Facebook.
So you just sign in through Facebook?
Well, you sign in through Facebook or Twitter, and then you link your other social media elements to it.
Okay, I got to do this because I want to find out what my sphere of influence is.
It's great because, you know, the memorable things that it shows on your page as to how you've influenced people is so-and-so tagged you in a photo on Facebook. So-and-so liked your post.
Let's see. I'm going to add our Dance Monkey podcast.
Well, that should account. Send you to the roof.
Let's see. Dance Monkey Pod. All I have to remember is the password. No, that's not it. And how long was this presentation that this person gave?
2 freaking hours on a Thursday afternoon at 3:00.
Oh, my.
There could have at least been a cash bar.
Okay, I can't remember.
You can't remember your Facebook password?
No, I can't remember my... I can't remember the Dance Monkey podcast Twitter.
Oh, God, I hope we haven't been hijacked.
No.
Somebody using our
All right, maybe I won't sign into Twitter yet. Hang on. I don't have Google Plus, and I don't remember my LinkedIn one. So let's just see through Facebook. Let's see. Come on. Does it take like a really long time after you hit continue?
No, it shouldn't. This always makes for great podcast, doesn't it? This is amazing. You're going to put some underscore on here, right?
And it wants to like add all my friends to this?
Yeah, you can skip that step.
Okay. Yeah, I just unchecked everybody. Well, I think it's interesting. Like, everybody should go to clout.com and find out what their sphere of influence is.
They should. And if you think it's bullshit, you should let us know. Because we're going to take down clout.com.
Okay, so my, I guess my score is 38.
That's not bad. 40 is average.
Is it?
Yep. Justin Bieber is a 95, yeah, so you get something to shoot for.
My 90-day high is 27.18, whatever the line means.
Wow. Influential.
And this, of course, is 100% through Facebook.
Yes. So there you see. There's the future, everybody. We're not talking about beaming down the podcast right into your brain so you can listen to it when you want. We're talking about bullshit internet trends. This woman is also excited about getting her Google glasses.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, so far, from what I've seen, are just another joke novelty.
Yeah. Well, apparently they've already been hacked.
Oh.
Because at one point... I guess you couldn't record anything, like, you couldn't go into a bathroom and, like, say, record, and have it record, like, in the bathroom or whatever. Like,
it was... Because it knew you were in a bathroom?
It was built in somehow to where you couldn't do that. Well, they've now hacked that. So, you can do, like, hand gestures or something, and it knows that you want to record, so...
I just think it's going to make people look like idiots.
Yeah.
And in fact, they did a great skit on Saturday Night Live, I think it was 2 weeks ago, with Fred Armisen, where he was showing off his new Google glasses.
Yeah.
And how he had to, like, shake his head to get it to reset and reboot and doing all these crazy things. It was very funny. I think it'll be more entertaining than the damn Google glasses. Because it sounds like you're saying Google glasses.
Google glasses?
Google glasses. I got my Google glasses. Oh, look, you joined Clout. I'm going to add you as an influencer. There you go. Oh, you have added Chris as one of your influencers. Now I'm going to tweet that. And here we go. Boom. There you go. Awesome. You're now one of my influencers.
So I just added Dance Monkey Podcast Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And my score is 38 still.
It'll take a while to update.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe people really don't give a shit about you. One or the other. Just saying. You're no Justin Bieber, sir. You are no Justin Bieber.
No, I'm not a douche and I don't have a monkey, so.
But if you did, you'd make him dance.
I would.
Oh. Yeah. So good times. So I hope everybody, starts looking to the future.
Everybody needs to go to Clout. Everybody needs to go in there and say, hey, what is my influence?
Yes. And you need to add Dance Monkey Dance as an influencer. Because we are influencing you.
Yes, we are.
We tell you what to do.
Okay.
And you're going to like it.
Clout just, like, wigged out on me here.
Oh, see? Quality. Quality internet app.
Yes. See, it's only showing, it's still only showing Facebook as 100%.
Yeah, it's going to take at least 2 days to start clicking on other crap. But well, I get the impression that it is more Facebook.
How can it, if it can get my score from Facebook in like 10 seconds,
mm-hmm.
why is it when I add something else, it takes like days?
I don't know. Like I said, mine still has not added my Twitter, my Google Plus, my LinkedIn, my YouTube, my WordPress, any of that stuff. It says 95% from Facebook and 4.93% from LinkedIn.
And what's your clout number?
54.
54? Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are an influencer.
I am an influencer. Yes.
Wow.
So you are under my influence.
Mm.
Be careful. Don't go driving under my influence. You'll get a KUI. You're clouting under the influence.
I've never heard of clout before. That's kind of interesting.
I hadn't either, and it just seems to be another scam to steal your information and send you useless mail.
Oh, great. Thanks, John.
So, hey, there you go. I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, you couldn't tell me that before?
No, of course not. Now it has your password. It's going to send email to all your friends. No, it's not.
It better not.
It can, though. So I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, rather than telling people to go to school for engineering or science or medicine, you should go for futurism.
I just don't see how that's, I mean, I understand social media is a big deal now.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, like, social media is a way to get your name out there. It's a way to get people to know what you do or whatever. And I can see how it can be used even by, like, job hunters to where, I mean, if you're going for, like, a social media gig, like, you could make a Facebook page.
Sure.
That kind of, like, encapsulates what you know about social media or whatever.
You would think. That would make sense.
I don't understand how somebody can stand there and say, if somebody's on their phone in a job interview, they deserve just as much chance as the guy that's paying attention.
Yes.
Who's dressed nicely, who has prepared and knows what you're talking about.
See, this woman seemed to be under the impression that anybody who's on their cell phone, their tablet, their iPhone, whatever, doing anything other than paying attention to you needs to be understood. So, you know, the three black people who were standing in the middle of the road last night at Target, and when I pulled up to turn in, just stared at me rather than moving their big fat asses. Oh, they must be futurists. They're very busy. They must be solving world hunger. Because that's the only thing you do on your iPhone, right?
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, all these people who die by texting, I'm sure they're like solving cancer. And it's very tragic that they passed away. I'm sure none of them are tweeting back pepperoni or sausage. Or what are you wearing?
You know, it's one of those things, like, when I was looking for a job, one of the biggest questions that I was asked, no matter where I went, was, do you know what my company does? And if I had sat there in the interview with his phone and said, well, let me look it up.
They would have gone, wow, this guy's awesome. We should hire him right now.
No, I mean, they're
out, it's like a baby mill.
They're looking for people who have done their homework,
mm-hmm.
not trying to cheat on the test. It just sounds like, you know how, like, you can have, there's like college courses in Klingon or college courses in Harry Potter.
Sure.
You know, it's futurism sounds like one of those.
I would say it is. I would say it is because I don't think you're really going to, for the general population, I don't feel that you're going to predict any trend that is going to make your company $1 billion.
No, because everything on the internet, and especially like memes, are things that you don't see coming.
Sure.
Like, who would have predicted Gangnam Style or the Harlem Shake? Or
sure.
any of the other stupid shit.
But again, what is that influence? What does the Harlem Shake have to do with society?
It doesn't.
Absolutely nothing.
No.
nothing at all. And yet we're saying, well, look at the expanse of this, of the influence. What is it influencing? A bunch of drunk stoned idiots making videos in their dorm rooms. It would be one thing if the Harlem Shake inspired a national park cleanup movement or something.
Right.
You know, something that was doing good. If it started a after school mentoring program in the inner cities. Wow, Harlem Shake did that? No, Harlem Shake just made these lame ass videos that now you can't, you know, seem to get away from.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the company that I worked for in Arkansas was always looking to see how we could do like a viral video. And it was like, you're missing the point of a viral video.
Exactly.
You don't plan for those things. They just happen.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't get that whole mentality of, well, we're going to predict this. Well, you can't.
Because no, you can't predict what's important.
No, 10 years ago, there was no hint of an iPhone or smartphones or anything that's revolutionized the way that we communicate now. I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for smartphones, would Twitter still be as popular as it is?
Well, no, because could you see Twittering on an old flip phone?
Well, no.
Alone on your dial-up connection.
You couldn't. And
right.
People would not tweet from laptops or desktop computers.
No.
Because that's, you know, things happen at lightning speed and there's no way to predict them when it comes to the internet.
Right.
I mean, you get one picture on Reddit of like a grumpy cat and you're a millionaire for merchandising.
Yes.
Where does that come from? How do you predict that? And especially in a corporate setting like the one that you're in, there is no way to predict anything that would make that company stand out.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I'm just looking at today's tweets under hashtag you ain't even know it. Your fave rapper Breezy says, changed your name in my phone to don't answer. Wow, that's influential, isn't it? Imagine the number of people. It's been tweeted 39 times. That's amazing, isn't it?
Are you looking under Discover?
I'm looking under Trends.
Are you looking under Trends?
I went to Home and I went to Trends.
Okay.
Or Rubber Band Texan, who says, when you fall down, do you bounce back or bounce backwards? You bounce back and you ain't even know it. Isn't that great? My God, how did we live before this?
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand.
Tay says, you on Twitter, but ain't text me back. You single now. Well, see, and he's putting good use. Oh, or more Modern War Negro says, she got salami nipples all up under her shirt. I think that's important. Don't you?
No.
I think that is an amazing use of time. An amazing use of the technology. Now, in contrast, Bank of America says, if we don't work together to develop consistency and interoperability, the customer will never adopt. That's deep. That's some deep shit.
Well, see, that sounds like Bank of America has a social media person.
Who's just spewing crap.
Yes.
Yes.
Who's trying to do whatever they can to drive people to Bank of America.
Of course. Which is why after reading that one tweet, I will probably never look at them again. So, you know, there you go. Twitter is nothing more than another novelty.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I mean, someday it's going to fall to the wayside just like everything else.
Yes.
And for whatever the next thing in social media is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody 5 years ago had a MySpace page. that went away for Facebook, and eventually Facebook will go away.
Well, sure it is, because Facebook started as a social environment for college kids.
Yeah.
And now our parents are on it.
Right.
So it's kind of time that it's going to move on.
Yes, I agree. And Twitter, you know, the only good thing about Twitter is you can just look at the tweets of the people that you follow.
Sure.
You don't have to look at the big main list of all the stupid people that are saying had salami for breakfast or, you know, whatever stupid thing they're going to put.
Really?
But, you know, like.
Did you have salami for breakfast?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I don't know where I pulled it out of. I just.
Oh, where did you pull the salami out of? Ew.
My butt.
That's gross.
But like, you know, for somebody who is looking for work, if you can follow tweets of people in your field.
Sure.
You know, a lot of times there are people, especially like in the video business, they're always posting like freelance jobs and stuff on Twitter.
Sure.
So if you wanted to do that route or, you know, Twitter's a great way to find somebody that's influential in your job field and tweet to them and say, hey, can you help? Just look at my resume. Tell me what I'm missing or something.
And if you're lucky, you might get a response.
Right. And for
but chances
people,
are you won't.
Well, I don't know, because I did that when I was looking and I got quite a few responses. I think it depends on the, you know, you can't go to like the Tom Cruise Twitter and say, how do I become an actor?
But you can.
You can, but the chances of him answering are pretty slim.
Yes.
As opposed to like in the video editing field, like if I wanted to go to like Larry Jordan or one of the other like big guys in video editing, mm-hmm. and say, can you give me some advice on this? A lot of times they'll answer. A lot of times they'll say, well, this is what you need to do. You know, they're not going to hold your hand, but they might be able to kickstart you in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think Twitter is way more valuable than Facebook. In the grand scheme of things.
It's more immediate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely there and gone.
Much more immediate.
Yeah. I don't know. It's... Social media is such a weird thing, because, like, when we were growing up, the internet didn't exist.
No, you had to pass notes back and forth to find out if somebody liked you.
Right. Or like, to get
did
information.
You like check one.
I remember getting out of college, and I bought a big spiral-bound book that was, like, it listed every, like, video post-production place and
sure.
audio
yeah,
place.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And I went through it, and I sent faxes to all of them.
Faxes?
Yeah, I know,
exactly. What is that for our young audience?
I know. You'd actually, like, write something and send it through the phone line, and it would wow. print out on their side. And I did that to, like, hundreds of studios to get, like, one person to write me back and say, this is where you need to start. It's an amazing thing how small the world's become, but
mm-hmm.
you
but it's still not
have to
small.
Put in the work.
Yes.
You can't go to a job interview and be on your phone and expect to get that job. No matter what you're going for.
Right.
You can't, and for her to tell people that are, might be in the position of hiring somebody, that's the way to go now, is just irresponsible, because you're going to get somebody who can't do the job, and then you're going to be held responsible because you hired that person.
Right.
That person needs to be dealt with.
Well, what needs to be dealt with is the type of leadership who feels that they can sit in their office with the door closed and not walk the halls and understand what their business requires.
That's true.
And that's kind of sums it up. You know, and, you know, it's, yeah, that's what we're heading towards, people. That's it. That's the future. So screw you all. We're doomed, and it's all your fault.
I would be interested to know if anybody that listens to this show ever had an experience in a job interview where you were hired even though you weren't prepared.
Well, I think it's the Mr. Dumbass commercial.
Mr. Dumbass?
The obnoxious kid who keeps talking about how I'm really dumbass material. I can't wait to be part of your dumbass business, Mr. Dumbass. It's Dumas.
Oh, okay.
You don't remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
But just, you know, somebody...
It's, again, not doing your homework, not being prepared.
Right, and not like McDonald's or like a corporate, a career, not a job.
Yes. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe all we have today are jobs. That you can't have a career anymore unless you make up some bullshit title like futurist. Seriously.
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean,
you know, I mean, you can't think you're going to have a career in politics and become a state senator unless all these old fucks drop dead.
Right.
You can't be a TV executive. You can't be head of a nonprofit. You know, there's so many things that you could aspire to in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that suddenly are just shut off.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are no more jobs where you go and you work for a company for 30 years and then you retire from that company. It's not
you can't retire because they don't give you any retirement.
No, but I mean, it's not like when our parents were coming up and their parents, like my grandfather worked for the same company for 35 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Before he retired. I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore. It's very rare that anybody reaches 20 years at a job. I mean, I know you're coming up on 20.
20 plus.
Well, 20 plus. I mean, that's very rare these days.
Well, it is. But the thing is, because companies try to push you out.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly your benefits as you age, you take more and more advantage of them.
Well, yeah.
So you're a liability.
Yeah, you're just costing money instead of...
Exactly.
...making money. Yeah, I know.
And I think it should be at a point that you have done all of this work to benefit the company, that at some point the company owes you something. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
I think that there's a give and take. And if the take from the company is 40 to 70 hours a week... then at some point, you should be getting that back.
You would think.
Exactly.
But that's not the way corporations work these days.
No, corporations are full of assholes.
Yeah. It's all about the bottom line. It's how much the company's making, not how much the employees are making.
Correct. Correct. There was I was listening to NPR yesterday, and there was a radio story about how fast food and other minimum wage employees in Detroit went on strike because they want $15 an hour.
For fast food?
Yes.
Okay.
And okay, that's great. What are you doing for $15 an hour? I shouldn't have to pay you $15 an hour for you to stand around and not clean the counters and not clean the bathrooms and not pick up the ketchup spills.
Right.
And to do more than stand there chatting with your friends. That, you know, $15 an hour for this crappy job. Well, you're doing a crappy job at the crappy job.
Right. And like, you know, you have to turn around and look at like food service on a whole, not just fast food. What about all those, hard-working waiters and waitresses in upscale restaurants, say.
Who get stiffed?
Who get, what, $3 an hour?
Yeah.
And have to work for tips?
Exactly.
Like, so what are you doing for them?
You're doing nothing for them.
No, because...
Nothing.
Yeah, all that's just...
And they're saying that in Detroit, you need $15 an hour to be able to support your family. Well, then I think the real problem is that it's so expensive to support your family.
Shouldn't...
The problem's not that you've got a crappy, low-paying job. The problem is that everything else is so expensive that you're just not able to keep up.
Well, and in Detroit, which is one of the hardest hit areas from the recession or whatever you want to call it, they should just be happy to have jobs.
You would think.
I mean, when I lost the job in Arkansas, I was prepared to do whatever it took to support my family. And had that been fast food, I would have done it. If it had been working in Walmart, I would have done it. I don't understand the mentality of, well, you have to pay me more for this crappy job.
Right.
Like, just go out and work. Be good at it.
Exactly.
Because that's how you get more money, is by the hardworking people and managers noticing that.
Right.
It's not, well, just give me more money. No, earn it.
And I think that kind of goes back to the whole social media thing where you're expected to just give them things.
Yeah.
You're entitled to this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't agree. Because, you know, from watching Undercover Boss, apparently there are management training programs in these kind of shows, in these kind of industries of food service and whatever. And if you're not a useless run-of-the-mill hourly employee, you should be able to rise above it.
Do you think, how do I put this? Do you think that
we should get paid more for this? Yes.
No. Do you
a lot more?
Yeah, well, anything would be nice. But do you think that low wages breeds laziness? You know what I mean? Like, do you think you get a job at McDonald's and you're making, what, $8 an hour? Do you think that that automatically breeds into the minds of whoever gets that job of, well, I don't really have to work because it's not a lot of money?
I think it attracts a certain type of person who feels like they are entitled to something more.
Okay. Because I'm just trying to figure out, like, sure, you get $15 an hour, but like you said, it wouldn't make you any better of an employee.
Right.
So unless you were to fire everybody and say, all right, we're bringing everybody else on at $15 an hour, I don't see how that alleviates the problem.
I think that's the biggest problem with the business world today, is that the people who are in leadership roles are people who aren't suited to leading people. They were the ass kissers of yesterday who suddenly are now in charge of, you know, the fry grill, or they're in charge of a cleaning crew or something.
Right.
And it's all entitlement. And I hate to say it, but you ain't entitled to shit. You know, you earn it.
Right.
That's how it used to be. I remember my grandfather worked during the day delivering milk, and at night he was going door to door selling magazine subscriptions, you know, just making money to provide for his family.
Right.
And today, you know, people are bitching if they have to work 40 hours.
Well, and that's the lazy generation. I mean, that's the, what did you call them? The millenniums?
The millennials.
The millennials?
Yes.
Because I guess I would be considered Generation Y?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, and I know that there's lots of lazy people in my generation, too.
Sure. Laziness knows no bounds.
Right.
But you need to look at it and, you know, all I want is for you to hand me the Coke cup without it dripping with, you know, overspray.
Right.
You know, take out a goddamn napkin and wrap it. Do, you know, go the extra mile. Don't even go the extra mile. Just do the frickin' job.
Right.
because you ain't going anywhere. But if you're nice and you smile at me, and if I'm one of those people who comes in a lot and you remember what I order, then you know what? I'm going to be nice to you. But if you're a cold-hearted bitch, guess what? You know, your little paper cup that says tips is going to remain empty.
When you go to a sit-down restaurant, do you consider yourself, if you have good service, do you consider yourself a big tipper?
I am a very good tipper.
What is the one thing that will drop the tip? Like, what's the one thing that they do? Is it like they don't come and refill your drink?
I was going to say they disappear.
They disappear.
You don't see them again until the end.
Okay.
You know, when they bring up your bill and suddenly start chatting you up. It's like, guess what?
Because I'm very much the same way. In that situation, I'm a really good tipper unless you completely, fuck up somehow.
Right.
Like, all you have to do is do your job. Be pleasant about it.
Yes.
You know, if I have a problem, take care of it, but...
Yeah. Just do your job, and you will at least get the minimum.
Right.
If you're attentive and you're friendly, you know, you're not showing me that you're tired and how boring your job is and you're dissing on people, then, you know, I'm probably going to take care of you.
Have you ever not left a tip?
No.
No?
No. As much as I would have liked to, I always tip. Because I'm a sucker. And that's that, you know?
So what advice do you have for any future futurists?
Get over yourself. You're not that great.
Is this person that gave this little lecture, do you think we can get her on the podcast?
Oh, God, no. God, no.
Because I'd love to spend an hour trying to, pick her apart.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen.
No?
No.
But it's kind of social media. I mean, we have an audience.
We do have an audience.
We
could do a call-in show for that.
I would just like to try to have her sell me on this whole thing about...
On the future?
About being understood as a person that doesn't prepare. Because I want to know what her reasoning is behind that, you have to give them some, you know, latitude of this is the future, and I just think it would be interesting. You can't arrange that?
I don't think so.
Uh-oh, what are you looking up?
I'm not. I'm responding to an email. I'm not responding to you.
Not cool, man.
You just need to respect the future, okay? That's all I'm saying. Just respect the future.
Talk to the future.
Talk to the future.
It's all about the future.
Talk to the feet, because the future's not listening. Okay? And that's it. That's it, you know? We're doomed, once again. Swirling around the bottom of the bowl.
See, that's why I think the biggest lesson that I can teach my daughter, besides think for yourself, is be prepared. Is show up when you say you're going to show up. Don't be late.
Yes.
All the stuff that my father instilled in me that has made my work ethic, if I can pass that on to my daughter, she'll succeed, because the rest of her generation is just going to suck.
Oh, that's amazing. Do you tell her that? Do you tell her, honey, everybody you know is going to suck?
She's 3.
I may as well start her soon enough. All I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Because she could dominate.
She could, and she will. It's going to be a thing of teaching her problem solving, teaching her critical thinking, teaching her thinking for herself, and the work ethic.
That's exciting.
And those couple things will make her head and shoulders above everybody else.
There you have it.
And like, as a parent, that's all I want. Is like any parent, you want your kid to do better than you.
Definitely. So, you do.
This will be one of those things where, as she gets older, heavy emphasis on like a good career. Not, you know, I want her to do what she wants to do, but something that she won't have to struggle with.
So you'd steer her away from theme park mascot? Just asking.
Yes.
Okay.
I would steer her away from video production as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's too hard to get full-time work.
Hmm.
You know, science, math, all the real tedious stuff.
All the boring crap that we didn't want to do?
Right.
You're going to make her do it?
Well, she can get a really good job that way.
But is it all about having a really good job? Or is it all about doing what you love?
Well, if she can learn to love science, or she can learn to love, you know, something good, that's all I want for her.
Mm, okay.
I mean, obviously, if what she wants to do is have kids and be a mom, well, then she needs to find somebody that can support that.
Ah.
You know.
So she's a gold digger.
That's right.
Okay.
Whatever it takes, just be happy.
Aww. So like, touching.
Well, no, I mean, okay. If you had a kid and the kid grew up and was like, I want to be an actor. Knowing all the actors that you know, would you say, well, pursue that? Or
uh-huh.
would you say, why don't you go do something else?
I don't know if I would give them the, you've got 2 years to make this work and then you're going to college to be an accountant.
Well,
because it's, I mean, specifically being an actor, being a musician, being a dancer, being any kind of role in performing arts.
Right.
It's going to be hard. And you're going to need another job because, hate to say it, but you're going to be temping.
Yes. But that's how I feel about, like, a lot of the entertainment industry, a lot of the media industry. You know, you have to look at sustainability of work, and like in my situation, a video editor, there are very, very few places that hire full-time editors.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of it's freelance, and freelance sucks.
Okay.
So if she was to come to me and say, I love movies and I love video and I've watched you work and that's kind of what I want to do, I'd be like, no, go find something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're gonna live in a world of uncertainty.
Sure.
And I don't know. I'm lucky that I love what I do. But at the same time, that's what hobbies are for.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and that's a good point. You know, I think that you have to be adult enough to understand that your dream job is never going to pay your bills.
Right.
So do you keep that passion alive by, you know, being a weekend community theater actress? And you've got a real job during the day, or, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I would do.
What's your decision?
That's what I would do. I mean,
yeah.
If I wasn't, if I hadn't have found a job doing what I'm doing,
yeah,
it could have very well led to me doing something completely different, but still making videos and stuff on the side.
Yeah, I think there's a time where you just have to, like, dig a hole and put your dreams in it. And, you know, deal with reality.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few people that get to live their dreams.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, for every Tom Hanks, there's a Peter Scolari. So, imagine that. Huh? Huh?
Didn't he go on to produce stuff?
Yeah, and he's actually starring with Tom Hanks on Broadway right now.
Oh, we'll see.
In a small role. Which is probably out of pity. But anyway.
For every Ryan Seacrest, there's a... What's his name?
Oh, Brian Dunkelman?
Brian Dunkelman.
Yes. Don't be a Dunkelman. Oh, we should make t-shirts up. Don't be a Dunkelman. I think that's because he wouldn't put out for Dick Clark, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
So Ryan Seacrest did? Well, obviously, since he has all those other shows.
Yes.
Ryan Seacrest is a swallower.
I think he sucked the dick of every Kardashian. Just saying. And there you have it.
So there we go.
Yeah. So, another hour plus that you people have wasted. So imagine that.
They're not wasting, they're learning.
They are?
Yeah.
Mm.
I didn't know what a futurist was before today.
And now you don't want to know what a futurist is.
Now I want to go and punch every one of them in the throat.
Yes.
Go get a real job. Don't just sit there and make shit up. Go out and work hard for a living.
But that's the future. That's what Isaac Asimov did. Look, he protected robots. Androids.
Oh, yeah, because there's one in every household.
Isn't there? You don't have a Roomba?
No, I don't.
No? No. Anyway.
So, anyway, if you want to drop us a line, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at dancemonkeypod. Go to the website, dancemonkeypodcast.com, and listen to the 102 other episodes.
Woohoo! 102?
102, triple digits.
Wait, I thought last week was 100.
No, last
week
was
101?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it. Was I there?
You were there.
Oh, okay. Was I good?
What?
Was I any good?
No.
Oh, as usual.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Follow us on, listen to us on Stitcher, Blurberry, any of the streaming stuff on your phone, iPods, whatever. And let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Transvaginal mesh.